In a world where technology is always listening, how do you make sure your message is truly heard? It's not about speaking louder. It's about showing up with a clear presence. On this episode, I sit down with the AI strategist and former Microsoft data scientist, Tatiana Tipueva, PhD, to discuss how we can strengthen our nonverbal communication in a high-tech world. Tatiana shares her journey of leaving the corporate world to create something of her own and how she now helps leaders return to their steady, real, and strong signal. We'll explore why our presence matters more than your words and how to ensure you're heard in any room. Welcome to the show, Tatiana.
Oh, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
All right. So in the world of AI, and algorithms, what's the greatest nonverbal signal we've lost and how can we reclaim it?
It's the one that AI still cannot read. The cues that we translate, and we translate them in different ways. Okay. Even silence can be a message. Yes. It all depends how we portray it. It may be facial signals, hand gestures, body posture, even how we turn or move, right? All those elements, but even space and time, those are also elements of nonverbal communication. If we approach someone too close or stand too far, when it seems to be too far. So all those elements, they translate information. And sometimes we read them consciously and can evaluate, but frequently we don't even recognize that this is going on and something is happening, but our subconscious reads it. And we feel like something is off, or vice versa. We may feel very attracted to someone or something, and we don't really understand why. Right. So it's like magic.
It's like they say, I feel their vibe, right?
Yeah.
I know when I was going through real estate, you know, training for sales, they said, always read the body language of the people that you're selling to. If they cross their arms, they're not letting it in because they don't believe it. Right? So body language is important.
Yes, totally. But we also need to be cautious that we don't interpret every single sign without knowing baseline. So, for example, as you mentioned, crossing the arms. If I'm someone who is constantly doing it, maybe it's my bad habit, or maybe I don't consider it to be a bad one. I just do it. So if I'm listening to you and cross my arms, maybe it doesn't mean that I'm close. Maybe it's my just habit and I feel more comfortable in this particular position. So we need to know a person's baseline before we start making assumptions. But overall, yes, like closing poses, and may not be only arms. It can be also our legs or the way we turn to or from the person also may send those signals. So yes, absolutely agree.
Yeah. You said you work... Your work isn't about fixing people. Can you explain what you mean by that? And what's the difference between fixing someone and helping them return to their own signal?
Yeah, I believe that all of us have great things in them. And sometimes we have those approaches when we try to work or try our employees to work on something that they don't excel at. But my approach, let's first take what strengths we already have. And all of us already have awesome things in our body language, in our nonverbal communication that we can use to our advantage. Sometimes we may realize that we have them, and oftentimes we don't. And we judge, oh, I used a filler word again, or I did pain again, instead of thinking like, oh, I've done 10 things right, and I was so awesome. Some of us do that, but it's very few people. So in my assessment and in my coaching, I work with people to first highlight what they already do great. So first, we can acknowledge that and understand how great they are. And it's not something fake. It's sincere finding what strengths they have and showing them. Mm-hmm. Because I use video assessment, we both can see at the same time. I show them. Mm-hmm. They can see, judge for themselves as well. And yeah. Then I looked at what could be improved, because we can improve things in us, in software, in different elements of our life. There mm-hmm. is always room for improvement. So I highlight most important elements. And in this area, I usually identify 20% that may cover 80%. We know this 80-20 Pareto rule. So mm-hmm. instead of going and trying to fix everything, we mm-hmm. all need to turn and improve 20% that makes the most impact. So right. we identify, I highlight the 20% that I believe would be the most impactful, and this person goes and walk on their own, or we work mm-hmm. together on improving that and reviewing the progress. So it's there is nothing to fix. So right. we identifying great things, and we identifying right. the ones that we can tune up a little right. bit.
Again, so it's just retargeting everything, right? Just, you know, seeing what you're great at, kind of making that a smooth transition, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So at the beginning, I would say it's reframing and open our yes. eyes to what we are doing great. And then the second portion I would call is like fine-tuning yes. to the degree that we want. Because in some situation, maybe I would say, it would be very beneficial if we show more energy, if I was more exciting, right? Oftentimes we see it on YouTube videos.
Right.
But the person on another end, my client, right? They may say, I don't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that energetic. Maybe it doesn't align with their personality. So then we think what would be a compromise, or maybe something alternative that they can introduce or enhance in how they present. So it's not this energetic kind of style, but it's something maybe pauses.
Mm, okay. Tatiana, how can a leader who used to use communication with words begin to pay attention to their nonverbal cues and their unspoken signals?
So the best is to look at your recordings and evaluate. Mm-hmm. One thing I need to say is that sometimes we don't see things. Okay. So even if they're there on the recording, we cannot recognize it. But many things we will be able to. So this is the first thing. Record yourself or take existing recording and watch. And see what you like and what would you like to change a little bit. Second thing, you can ask your family members or co-workers
right.
feedback. And the third thing, I see there are reasons. Yes, I know. But in some situation, it would be very good and objective. And in others, yeah. it may not be.
Yes.
and the third thing, you can take your recording and show to particular people who opinion you respect and trust.
Right. Okay.
And then come to me.
Yeah, that's good. Audience, I hope you're taking notes on this, because this is really good stuff, because this can get you to the next level in your life. Now, Tatiana, why do we often find ourselves so focused on what we're saying that we forget to be present in the conversation, like we get lost?
I think we care a lot how people perceive us, what they think.
Yeah.
And that's why we try to fit some kind of pictures that we have in our mind, who uh-huh. we think we are or we should be. And this breaks sometimes the connection between who we truly are and who we try to be or show.
Yeah. What's the consequences of that?
So I don't know if you heard that. I've heard a lot that people try, especially the ones that start their own business or start speaking publicly mm-hmm. Or do exposure and of different kind. And they try to fit some kind of a pattern or template how they should be doing and things like that, they don't succeed too much. But when they release all the fears, recognize their strengths, work maybe a little bit on fine-tuning some of the things that would be great to do, those 20% that I mentioned before, they show up truly. And this is where they, their personality starts shining. And people see for who they are. And when they release all those emotional tensions that inside during presentation and then just being themselves, it translates in terms of energy, in terms of how they show up. People start believing them. And this is where they truly shine. Gotcha. So if we don't do it, then we put ourselves, I can say, like in a box that oftentimes we created ourselves.
Right. So I hear you talking about like kind of writing things down. How do we ensure our nonverbal communication is authentic and not a performance?
It's a great question. And many people like, I'm going to be evaluated and then I need to train myself. So going back to my example about being energetic on camera, like people like to do on YouTube, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, don't do it. Right. There are many things. Okay. There are many things that we can do that would be natural to you. Right. And something that I can suggest, something during conversation you may uncover. Oh, I didn't know I did this great thing. Right. I want to do more of it. So when you find your style, just stick with it. And some things, it's just an exercise. It's developing a habit. So when we go to the gym, things are not natural first time. But when you go 99 times, things are becoming much easier. The same here. If we want to get rid of filler words, we would need to watch for them first. And it may be looking like a performance. I'm watching myself that I'm not doing it. It's a good thing, right? We are developing a habit of not doing it. And eventually it becomes our second nature. So at the end, it's our own decision what we want to be our second nature, or if we want to perform artificially, like to play what is natural. So eventually it's up to us to decide.
Okay. So now when I first started with speaking and, coming out on YouTube and everything, I started, doing all of that. First, I didn't like my voice. And that was like, I have to get over that. But what does a role of vulnerability play in strengthening our nonverbal communication and establishing a deeper connection with others?
It's our internal work. And I need to say that because I'm a personality profiler, I understand different personality types. So some people are natural performers and they like themselves a lot. They don't usually have this problem, my voice, or I don't look nice, or maybe my hair is not today, or something else. They just enjoy, like, look at me, I'm here. Right. But it's just a percentage of population. The rest of us are not that confident. And some don't like their voice. Some don't like something else. And it's internal work on our own. And we go through that. And I think it's great because this way we are working on limiting beliefs, wrong perceptions that we have about people, how they will judge us and things like that. So internal work, and it's also determination. So many people drop developing their YouTube channel because they don't feel comfortable. It takes a lot of work, etc. But if we have determination, we continue. Maybe we are not that successful at the beginning, even though some are. But eventually, perseverance and determination take over and we can start seeing results. And when we see results and hear positive feedback, it encourages us more. It step by step, we get more and more positive feedback. We realize that people are not that negative as we maybe initially thought, and it encourages us to continue on this path more and more, and eventually we get to success, and hopefully we start liking our voice, our appearance, right, what we say, and we don't doubt ourselves more. However, I want to say that many famous people said, and I don't know if you can also confirm it, that even if we are very developed, and even if we have millions of people listening to us, they still feel a little bit of this thing that they feel a little bit uncomfortable showing up or talking about something new or introducing something new. And they all say that it's normal. If we welcome being different to people around us, it wouldn't be natural to our nervous system and our personalities and us as humans.
Sure. Yeah. It's always a challenge, you know. Me getting over traumas myself, but you know, that, like you said, that's a lot of inner work. And now I feel like totally comfortable. That's what I was born to do, you know. But you do, like, introducing new things, you kind of get, oh boy, that's kind of scary there, you know, and then you get over it, like it's over, you know. And once it's done, it's done. But yeah, you do I think I still get like butterflies, and I just like, okay, it's all right. You know.
Yes, and with me as well, leaving corporate world and getting into my own thing was also a challenge, but I went for that, and I'm working on my own building and also do internal work, developing skills, learning information, going out there. So yes, but eventually I know that it will make me a little bit different, and I will be glad that I did it.
That's good. What's one action people can take today to start something, strengthening their nonverbal communication?
So first, I would suggest those three things that we talked about: recording, asking feedback, and giving recording out for feedback. Right. Potentially seeing someone like me. Besides that, just being more aware. So when they talk, when they show up, especially at important events.
Right.
Just ask themselves, how do I feel? How do I show up? Where are my hands right now? Where is my eye contact going? Am I looking around or am I looking at the person I'm talking with?
Right.
Where is my position when I sit? Is I'm like that and trying to hide, or I'm confident and ready to show up there? Am I on my phone doing other things, or I'm present? So different questions, when we start asking ourselves them regularly, we start noticing not only how we show up, but also our internal reaction. So if you feel uncomfortable at the meeting, you may feel that your posture is changing and position, shoulders, or maybe some other elements. And when you feel confident in some environment, you show up differently. So awareness create a great thing. And it also can become a habit, and it will serve very well if it becomes a habit.
Okay. So something that I was thinking of, and I wanted to know, how do you distinguish between being present and being passive?
You mean in terms of body language, when someone it depends on the environment where we are. It depends on person's baseline. For example, in simple words, extrovert versus introvert, they would show up differently. Okay. Even though both may have good intentions and be engaged, but they just show up differently because of their personalities. But overall, we can look for signs like at the meeting where a person choose to sit regularly, especially if you can compare those kind of meetings versus another kind of meetings, right?
Right.
So let's say our employee A is constantly sitting on a back seat at meeting when we meet this person, let's call him John. And say maybe there is something going on at that meeting where they don't want to be proactive, or maybe it's something relationship-wise, maybe something else. So, but we need to look across the pattern. Gotcha. Another thing, if I'm looking at you, if I'm engaged, If I'm answering your questions, gotcha. You may mm-hmm. assume that I'm there with you. If mm-hmm. I say, yeah, I think maybe this would be a good thing. So maybe I exaggerated a little bit, so it, mm-hmm. you can see that. But if you see the sign that person is not completely there with you, then probably it's not just a sign.
Yeah.
And it can be different elements of body language, mm-hmm. voice. Eh? What? Can you please repeat what you just said? Sorry, I didn't hear you well.
I said, how do we distinguish between the present and being present and passive? Is that what you said?
No, I'm just showing you examples of what reaction.
Girl, I'm I'm ready for the next question.
Yeah, they may start asking questions
Okay.
That would
gotcha.
Be a sign that they are not completely there with you.
Gotcha. Why is being present and passive so crucial for effective leadership?
Because if we are not there, we are not participating. Whether we mm-hmm. are a leader, mm-hmm. whether we are an employee or someone who is following someone or some approach or strategy or whatever it may be,
right.
A leader needs to show up and lead and create environment that people would want to follow them and create and execute on things that they lead. So if they are not there, like, why would I care to follow this thing? Why would I care to execute if they're not even there, right? This is a message that leader would send if they are not there. If I'm someone who is employee, for example, and I'm not there, that it shows a signal, sends a signal to my manager that I'm not really eager to work for them or for their company or for their beliefs. Mm-hmm. I'm already somewhere in another company or just care about my own stuff, things like that. So it breaks connection. There is no connection. We feel like we have different objectives.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's good. So I wanted to ask something too, because as a traveler, I know you probably travel as well. How do we prevent our unspoken signals from being misinterpreted, especially as we travel with diverse cultures and communication styles?
Awareness of the culture where you travel to. Right. This will be the first thing, because the same gesture, thumbs up, thumbs down, can be... colors. Yes. Also, our styles, how we show up, how we dress, also it's part of nonverbal communication. So nonverbal has at least 9 different elements. I mentioned a few today, but there are more. Even showing up on time is a sign of nonverbal communication. And you can guess, if you show up on time, it's one signal. And if you don't, it's another, especially if it happens regularly, right?
Right, gotcha.
So style, for example, if we dress a short skirt in conservative culture, it mm-hmm. may send the wrong message, right? Especially if you go to some high-stake meeting. White color is different meaning, has different meaning in different cultures. In some, it's birth. In another, it's when people die. Right. So being aware of the culture where we travel is first thing, the most important. Second one, don't treat every single gesture like a snap until we figure out. So if it's someone you communicate with, you got some strange signal that may be suggestive or intimidating or something like that, there are things that we can ask. Maybe watch the sign like that. And try to interpret it again. So follow up. Don't judge by one thing. And another one is open communication. So if you feel open, if situation allows, say that I saw this interesting thing that happened. I just wanted to clarify, is it correct or incorrect interpretation? Or what does it mean? from your perspective. Again, if it's comfortable. And at the end, sometimes situation, we just don't know. So if it's someone passing you on the way in security in airport, you don't know this person, you don't have opportunity to talk and something happened, maybe it's something just to let go, you know? Because maybe it was just in a rush, not intentional, or maybe it was like a friendly, you know, wink. They had something in mind and you didn't know like what they were referring to or something like that. Just let it go.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, audience, you heard that, you know, not just learn the language, but learn the nonverbal and the communication styles of that culture before you travel. Very good information, Tatiana. Can you tell us what you're up to, what you're at, you know, what you're doing right now, and how our audience can contact you?
Sure. I have a website. I offer assessment for nonverbal communication. I conduct them via videos. So we work on your goals, what you would like to achieve, what things that you maybe already have in mind that you would like to improve. I create assignment recording. We either do it together or you do it on your own. Then I evaluate it. We meet, discuss. And I mentioned before 80-20% rule that I apply. We talk about strengths and things that we would like to tune up.
That's great.
Yeah, and if someone needs coaching, work on that, reiterate and see the progress, then I offer it to work together.
Awesome. That was a powerful and insightful conversation with our brilliant Tatiana Tipova. Thank you for showing us that true leadership isn't about louder words, but a clearer presence. To learn more about Tatiana's work and discover her unique approach to communication, you can find her at Tatiana Tipova, TatianaTepoeva.com. If this episode resonated with you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend who needs to hear this. And remember to like, subscribe, and leave a comment to let us know your biggest takeaway. Your signal is your power. It's time to make sure it gets heard. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.